Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's the Vetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, good Saturday morning to all of you in the United States and Canada. Good afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And in the case of our guest now, who comes to us from New South Wales, Australia, Max Egan. He runs the website thecrowhouse.com, and that covers a vast array of different topics spanning government corruption to ancient mysteries. Max is also an independent video producer, musician, and artist, and he is the host of a radio show, I believe, at the American Voice, Max. But good welcome. Good morning for you. Good morning tomorrow. And welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Thanks, Dan. It's nice to be here, brother. Thanks for asking me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Sorry about the snafu. About the time, I guess it was an hour later for you than we anticipated.
Yeah, well, you get that daylight saving. This sort of stuff messes people up. They change it all over the planet, so you just never know what time it is anywhere, I think.
Yeah, I've missed shows because of that.
Yeah,
I just didn't show up. It's like, oops. So, yeah, I can relate. So, anyways, welcome. It's now 2 o'clock in the morning for you down under. Are you, like, east or west of us on the side of Australia?
I'm on the east side, most easterly point, pretty well the most easterly point where I live, yeah.
Okay, so it's like you're one of the first guys to welcome in the new year.
That's the one, the most easterly point of the world. We're actually, I think, New Zealand's further east than us, but that's about as far east as you get, I think.
Well, okay, great. Well, we'll be thinking about you come a few more weeks from now. Tell us a little bit now. You've been traveling the world a lot, you said, on some of your bio information. How many years and where? Give us just an idea. What have you experienced out there as you traveled around the world?
Well, it's pretty crazy. I'm seeing a mass awakening everywhere. I really am. There's a lot of people around the planet that are waking up to the fact that we've got some severe problems. Unfortunately, not many people seem to know what to do about it, but a lot of people are waking up. There's pockets of resistance I'm seeing all over the planet. But, I mean, the whole planet's being destabilized at the moment. It really is quite amazing to see. We're in a situation like we've never been in before. And, the reassuring thing, like I said, is that I have seen huge resistance to this control grid right around the world. It's just that people are lacking direction. Not too many people know what to do about it. That's the problem that we're facing, really.
And your radio show, do you make an effort, I guess, at outreach on the show, or is it focused more on the political side? I know you're an advocate, I know, for Gaza, Palestine, et cetera, which we can get into a little bit later, but is that something that you're covering a lot?
Well, you know, what I try to do with the show is really provide a safety net, like let people know that there is a problem, what the problem is, because a lot of people don't sort of see the bigger picture. They see the surface problems and they think that they're isolated, but really if you step back, you see that it's all connected. And I try to just sort of point that out to people and provide a safety net for them, help them understand that all these problems are actually opportunities. I think we're facing, this is a time in history when we've got the biggest opportunity we've ever had for human freedom, because there's never been a time in history when the control mechanism has been laid as bare as what it is now. You know, we can actually see what's going on now, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's a pretty bad situation that we're in, but it's good that we can see it now. And so that provides us with an opportunity to fix it. And really, the problems on the planet have all been created by people, just people. They're all our employees. Excuse me, government politicians, all these people, these are all our employees, and they're just people, just the same as us. You know, the problem is that we've been educated to believe that we're just little people and we don't really, you know, we're not capable of having any real big ideas. We don't have any real potential. We should leave all that stuff to the bigger people who do all the bigger things, you know. We're just little people. We just want to keep our heads down and get on with life. This is what our education system teaches us. And so we don't feel generally as worthy as those that we deem, you know, the elite or whatever we want to call them. Really, these are just people with more money than us because they've stolen more from everybody else. I mean, we've got to realize that these are just people. The guys running all of this mechanism, they're just people. They're no better than anybody else, and they're actually our employees. As soon as we realize that, we'll see some real change. As soon as the people start to unite in common unity as one people, we'll see some change. You know, we've got this divided, dysfunctional society. Everybody's competing with each other and judging each other by their external trappings, you know, like measuring each other by the size of their front door. It's ridiculous, you know. We've got to get out of this mentality, realize it's not about that. It's not about what you own. It's about what you are and who these people are. They're just our employees. And we can fix things pretty quickly as soon as we come to that realization, I think, Dennis.
Yeah, I speak a lot about the same thing. These guys are just employees at the end of the day. I don't care what you tell me. They work for salary just like everybody else. And quite frankly, they're not that bright. I work with these people here in the Middle East. As you know, I'm here in Amman. And I can't agree with you more.
That's the thing. There's a great quote, actually. I'll just butt in there. There's a great quote by Plato. I mean, people, see, we're in this situation because of people's lack of attention that they pay to our political system. And the lack of attention they've paid to our politicians, they just, you know, go for the prettiest face or whatever. A great quote by Plato says the only problem, and I'm paraphrasing here, he says the problem with not paying attention to politics is that you end up being ruled by your intellectual inferiors. And that's what we've got here.
And wow, that's a great thing, because a lot of these people just don't strike me as being very smart. Down under, I know you've put on your website you're a great fan of the United States people.
Beautiful people. Like they are. They're an almost childlike people, American people, the United States people. They are. They're great people. I love them.
And of course, a lot of the values, you know, I know around the world, Americans are loved also. I know you travel, extensively. Americans are loved a lot more than people realize. I think Americans are being like stigmatized lately by their own media that they're bad. Do you see that happening around the world?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I see a lot of people, they do frown on Americans a little bit because they think, well, hang on, you guys, what are you doing? Why don't you do something about your government? I mean, America's the big bastion of freedom. How come it's turning into what it is? I think a lot of people are confused now when they look at Americans, but Americans are loved. I mean, they're nice people. They're generally nice people. I mean, you get the odd loudmouth, but you get that with Australians as well. I mean, I certainly can't talk with some of the people that come out of this country, the same as the Brits. I mean, you get it everywhere. You get the bad seeds.
Yes.
But generally, they're loved people. They are good people. The problem with America is the American government, and the American people need to do something about that. But it's the same here. It's the same in Canada. It's the same in England. It's the same in most countries around the world. Our governments are out of control. And this is what I've been talking about on this show. That's the problem, is the lack of attention we've been paying to our governments, which has allowed this global situation to turn into what it is. You know, and we've got to start paying attention and realize that these people are our employees. We've got to rein these people in. They're out of control. I mean, they're poisoning the sky. They're poisoning the air. They're putting poison in the food, in the water. And we're asking them, would they please act responsibly and please stop doing this? I mean, they're not going to stop. They're the ones who did it. We've got to stand up and say, hey, you guys are out of control. You're criminals. Exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at the place. This whole situation has been created through legislation you guys have put in place, which has allowed this corporate rape to continue and allowed the enslavement of the people. So you're out. Simple as that. You're out.
Uh-huh.
And we have to stand up and do this, Dennis. We do. I mean, we've got a responsibility to. We can't allow the world to be destroyed around us simply because we believe we're constrained by the rules that these criminals write on pieces of paper. It's ridiculous.
Now, another issue, too, you know, a lot of the rules are made by committee, non-elected committees. You know, you've got committees for virtually everything out there, from the telephone grids to each individual ingredient, even in a herbal supplement. And the control grid has actually gotten down board into these committees, which are beyond the reach of the voters.
Exactly. That's the way it's all run. And what we've got to do is just start taking the moral high ground in all that we do. You know, don't do anything which causes us to deviate from our moral compass. That's what we have to do. If any legislation is in place which causes us to deviate from our moral compass, then we need to question it. And not only question it, we need to find out who enacted it and why, and how they believe they have the authority to cause difficulty in our lives when they only get the power to do it from us because they're our employees. We've got to start reevaluating this situation and taking the moral high ground in all that we do. That's all we have to do to change the world. If people actually respected each other, you know, and treated each other as they should, as they would be treated themselves, or treated people as they would be treated, you know, and took the moral high ground in all that they do, we could change the world in a day. You know, it's really that simple. We've got to stop obeying legislation which interferes with the moral high ground. That's what we have to do.
Now, do you see a case where the people need to become a much more squeaky wheel? The old adage, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. People just need to really start to become squeaky wheels on virtually everything that goes against, as you say, the moral compass?
Absolutely. We need strong voices, as many of them as possible. People need to stand up and speak their truth. Stop being politically correct. Stop being afraid to speak out if you see injustice. And stand up and call a spade a spade. That's all we really need is for people to be honest. I mean, look around you. The world's pretty messed up, and we can see how we got here, and we need to call a spade a spade. Yeah, and we need more squeaky wheels. You know, like if more people speak out, the more people that speak out, the better. We really need it at the moment. That's what will change things. You know, even people who wake up, they write to me and they say, Max, now I'm awake, what do I do? Well, what you do is you empower your neighbors, you empower the people around you, you help them with knowledge. But you don't, you know, go and turn a fire hose on and drown them with all this information you've found out. You nudge them in the right direction so they can discover the truth for themselves. But lead by example. Take the moral high ground in all that you do. Start being a pillar of the community. This is how you change the world.
Oops, sorry about that. I turned my mic down while you were going there. You're going so well. Going now to the international side of it. You know, this is all about the domestic, how to generate a little bit of motion on the domestic side. Internationally, do you see any conspiracies within your worldview relative to the state of Israel and, let's say, the Western democracies?
Oh, absolutely. Like, when you look at Israel, you've got to look at the Greater Israel Project. That's what it's all about. If you look at what's happening in the Middle East right now, this is all related to the Greater Israel Project. That's why there's no order in any of this war that we've got going on there. Like, they're going to Iraq and they just completely destabilize it, going to Libya, destabilize it. What they're doing to Syria will end up a complete write-off. All of these different factions, you know, secular violence all over the place. So this is what they do. I mean, this has all been part of the plan for a long, long time, the Greater Israel Project. And that's what's going on in the Middle East. When you look at the Greater Israel Project, like Oded Yunan's plan for Israel in the 1980s, it explains perfectly what's going on in the Middle East now. Without that, I mean, nothing makes sense. You look at what we've done to the Middle East, what the West has gone in and done, makes absolutely no sense at all until you look at the plan for Greater Israel, and it all makes perfect sense. That's what it's all about.
And our guest today, Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com and Surviving the Matrix, I believe is the name of the radio show. Is that correct, Max?
That's the show. That's the one.
And how often do you broadcast, by the way?
Once a week I do that on American Voice Radio every Friday night about 9 or 10 o'clock, I think it is, in the United States. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturdays for me. It's been going out once a week for the last nearly 7 years now.
Yeah, that's a good time, too. You're kind of taking the same model I am, you know, take that Saturday, end of the day type of thing, and then you can put it back fresh in the United States.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's a good time of the week to do it. It's a Saturday afternoon, and it's good.
Yeah, plenty of time to prepare and relax, and if you have an off day, you still got time to do something.
Yeah.
Something like that. How strong is the Israeli bloc in Australia right now?
Look, it's pretty strong. It's pretty strong everywhere. Our government is pledging, you know, undying support for Israel. It's everywhere. Our government, actually, the Australian government, the US government, and the Canadian government have actually been pushing, trying to block a conference in Geneva, which is aimed at putting pressure on Israel to stop the settlement program and actually smarten their act up a little bit. They're trying to block the conference from even taking place, which is absolutely disgusting. I don't know how anybody could be supporting Israel after the crimes this country is committing. But I see this as an opportunity for us as well, because, I mean, Israel's committing war crimes is, you know, a list as long as your arm. And it's not even a debatable point that they're committing these crimes. It's all against the Geneva Convention. And I'm saying that any government that supports Israel is committing war crimes. I mean, our government is, you know, our prime minister and any politician in this country that's supporting Israel is openly committing war crimes, you know, supporting war crimes. So why don't the Australian people stand up and have this government charged for complicity in war crimes? That would be a good foot in the doorway. And any government that's supporting Israel, I believe you will find there's legislation in your country which gives you the ability to do this. And it's not debatable that this country is committing these crimes, so it gives the world an opportunity to stand up and pay attention. And I'm looking for everything we can do to to bring charges against these people or to just empower the population in some way. I mean, I'm not even really that concerned with bringing charges against them. I just want them to go away and stop trashing the planet. I don't particularly want to put them in jail. I just want them to stop killing people and stop destroying other people's lives. That would be a good thing. You know, but there's going to be a lot of people who want revenge. Well, I'm not a revenge person. I just want them to stop what they're doing. But I'm looking for any way I can to try to empower the people into some type of action, whether it's bringing charges against them for war crimes, whether it's a publicly initiated referendum to express a loss of confidence in their ability to govern, simply because of what they're doing to the groundwater through their coal seam gas mining. I mean, we've got so many opportunities and so many openings for us if we can just empower the people into action. So I'm trying to do anything I can to get that sort of thing into the minds of the people, you know.
Yeah. Now, down, of course, you guys down under, you've got a great reputation for your agricultural sector. You know, I've spoken actually with some of your folks in the embassy in Dubai, UAE, and you guys have a great reputation. What's the status of GMOs and some of this type of activity down in Australia?
Well, GMOs are rampant down here, and also we're not going to have much of a food bowl left soon now that the TPP has been signed, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, because one of our premiers of Queensland sold most of our food bowl to China, and they've got it earmarked for coal mines. And we've got a major coal port just being built up in North Queensland. They've actually cut a hole through the top of the Great Barrier Reef, which is a crime in itself of monumental proportions. And this is for a coal port. Nobody's really asking, well, where's all this coal going to be coming from? Well, it's going to be coming from our food bowl. So we're not going to be growing much food here in Australia. We're going to be importing all of our food soon, and it's going to be all GMO. I mean, there's no restrictions on any of that stuff here. This has got to be the most fluoridated country on earth, the most GMO rampant country on earth. Like, the people here are some of the most controlled population on the planet, and they really have no idea that they are. They think that they're free because there's so much space here. Lots of space in Australia. You have big yards, big houses, lots of space, wander around the beach, plenty of freedom to do all that sort of stuff. But it's very, very controlled in other ways. And it's about to get very, very bad down here. The people just, they're too apathetic. You know, unfortunately, they're trained to be apathetic. They're just not standing up. They're not noticing that there's any real problem. And it's very difficult to unite the Australian people. I thought it would be an easy country to unite the people because it's such a low population, 22 or 26 million people in this whole country, twice the size of Europe. But unfortunately, they're so spread out, and they don't pay attention to things that don't affect their own backyard. And half the time, their backyard is several acres. So, you know, they don't pay attention very much, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of Americans would love to have something, some problems like that, at least, if they're in trouble, right? Why do you think it is that Western, all of the English-speaking nations are so co-opted right now?
Television and fluoride are two big things. Television is insidious. Television has programmed entire generations of people. The education system as well. I mean, the education system is very insidious. The education system actually rewards subservience. You know, if you do what the teacher says, you get a gold star. You know, if you regurgitate stuff on command, you get rewarded. If you're an independent thinker, you get ostracized. So it's the education system trains you not to think outside of the box. I mean, they'll make an example of you in front of the whole school. If you're a rebel at school, if you think outside of the box too much and you exercise your ability to be yourself too much, they will ostracize you, they'll ridicule you, they'll make you the laughing stock of the school. So it trains you never to think outside of the box. Then you get into the work system, your trained to be a sociopath. You know, you've got to be ruthless in business. You've got to get out there and make ends meet, and you've got to get out there and support the bottom line. It's all about profits and maximizing profits and minimizing the workforce and all this sort of stuff. So it trains you to think sociopathically and to act sociopathically. And we're completely messed up sexually as well because of what they've done to the Western psyche as far as sexuality goes. I mean, it's ridiculous what the Western world has done to that. So that creates a schism in our minds. So we've got all of this stuff going on. Now, by the time we're adults, we don't know what we're doing. We can't think properly. We can't think clearly. We've got no idea what reality is. We're programmed by the television every day that it's all good. We're given all of this stuff to distract us with, and there's all these alpha waves and trance stuff that goes on with the TV, puts you in that state. We're all walking around with these mobile phones, which are putting this electromagnetic field around us as well. We're drinking fluoridated water, and even if you haven't got fluoride in your water in your country, I guarantee it's in all the food in the supermarkets. It's in salt. It's in all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, they don't have fluoride in the water in England, I think. There's somewhere where I was recently, it might not be England, somewhere where they don't have fluoride in the water, but you look at this table salt and it's full of fluoride. So they get it to you. They get it to you some way. So this is a lot of it. I mean, television and fluoride and electromagnetism are three really, really big things that affect Western minds. And it's just very, very difficult to wake people out of their bubble, you know. And even you tell them what's going on, they go, well, that's terrible. Then they go straight back to what they're doing. They're just programmed. It's sad, but it's just the way it is. And it's been an ongoing thing. Very, very clever system, but I think those are the three main culprits. I mean, there's probably stuff in the food as well. Wouldn't surprise me what's in the supermarket food. I mean, you look at the labels of that stuff. God knows what that stuff is that's in there. I mean, these lists of names that you can't even pronounce. I mean, what is this stuff? You know, you certainly don't grow it in the garden, so you shouldn't be eating it.
Yeah, I recall those days also. You know, I'm in the Middle East now, and I just don't buy packaged food anymore, so I don't pay attention to it anymore because I don't buy it. It's just too expensive to import, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. It's ridiculous. I mean, you look at it. What's this stuff? Humectant. What's this? Humectant. Oh, yeah, lovely humectant. I've got that big drum of humectant at home that I eat all the time. What is this stuff? You know? That's just one random name that I thought of. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, and you think, you know, what is this? I mean, it's not fit for any sort of consumption, let alone human consumption. You notice now you throw a sweet on the ground and the ants don't eat it?
Yeah, I've noticed that actually. I've had some sweets thrown on the ground, and the ants don't eat it. It's like, what is this? Yeah, you're right.
Even butter. If you buy a cheap butter, the generic brand of butter, Black and Gold or whatever, and you put it on the bench, and you get a little tub of organic butter and put it next to it, within 5 minutes, the organic butter is covered in ants, and they don't eat the cheap butter. So even the butter. There's stuff going on here that the insects won't go near this stuff. You know, insect-resistant food, crops that insects won't eat. What is this? This is a crop that nothing else will eat. Nothing else will eat it, but they tell us it's fit for human consumption. Something seriously wrong with this food, folks, because nothing else will eat it. And we can't tell because we don't have all of our higher senses active, so we can't really see what's going on and read the food the way the other creatures can. So we need to be very, very careful of this and be paying attention to this because this is what the depopulation agenda is about. This is how they're rolling it out. And meanwhile, everyone's distracted and talking about conspiracy theories and going down rabbit holes and pointing the finger at this and pointing the finger at that and addressing all these little symptoms, trying to put Band-Aids on the symptoms. They're not stepping back and seeing that there's a bigger agenda here. There's a bigger picture here. And a lot of the human race is being exterminated right before everybody's eyes. And they're not doing much about it because they're too caught up in these little things. They're just not paying attention to what's going on around them.
Now, when you get people a little bit awake and they start to talk a little bit, there's a fun thing called hate speech laws out there. How strong are those down in Australia?
Hate speech laws, I mean, I think they're pretty strong everywhere. So you've got to be careful what you're saying. I mean, like I said about taking the moral high ground in all that you do. I mean, I speak out against Israel and not a lot, but you couldn't call it hate speech because I don't have any problem with Jews. I have a Jew who stays at my house quite often. I don't have any problem with Jews. I've got a big problem with the Israeli government because I'm a humanitarian. You know, if that's hate speech and if speaking out against the crimes of Netanyahu is hate speech, then fine, take me to court because I think we need a serious reevaluation of this legal system because if speaking out to preserve life and speaking out for a humanitarian cause is hate speech, then we need to investigate these politicians. You know, this is the way I approach it. I really push the envelope, but I'm always making sure I'm taking the moral high ground and I'm provoking them to charge me for what I say, but they won't. Because
how,
I can prove
how do you reconcile, though, on a geopolitical level, when you see that 89% of the the Jewish people down there in Israel support the war on Gaza?
They're programmed to, you see. The Israeli culture is a very, very programmed culture.
It is. Guys, we're going into a break. Max Eakin is our guest from the Crow House and Surviving the Matrix. We'll be right back. This is The Fetch and Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back after this. Okay, welcome back, everybody. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware again. Today's date is Saturday, December the 6th, 2014. And a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. Good evening now to everybody listening in European and Asian time zones. And in some cases, as our guests now, good morning tomorrow. It's already the 7th, December the 7th, 2014. Our guest today, Max Eakin. Again, he is, Max, you're kind of famous out there. You did a show recently also, I saw, with Red Ice Radio.
Yeah, I've done a couple of shows with Henrik. Good station, good interviewer.
Yeah, I was there recently too. I like Henrik. I think you talked about Zionism and a lot of the terror going on, as we all recognize, here on this show anyways. It's kind of like preaching to the choir here. Tell us a little bit. Were you at all involved in what happened as far as following, the G20 meeting down in Brisbane? I think it was Brisbane.
I stayed away from Brisbane, as a lot of people did. There was a mass exodus from Brisbane during G20.
Getting out, but did you at least follow the events and the nuances?
Well, yeah, I saw what was going on. I mean, Putin was here. There was a lot of muscle flexing. I mean, everybody had their environmental speeches and had their little nice thing to say. Our Prime Minister, of course, got up and just said what a great job he'd done with our budget and all sorts of stuff. Didn't have anything environmental to say at all. Made a complete fool of himself. His muscle flexing against Putin. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
That sounded childish, quite frankly. It's like, what is this?
Look, he's an imbecile. Tony Abbott is a complete and utter imbecile. It's amazing that someone with the intellectual aptitude of a mollusk like this guy has could actually get to be prime minister of a country. He's a complete and utter idiot.
Well, we have John McCain.
John McCain is almost like a philosopher compared to Tony Abbott. I've never seen anything like this guy in politics.
You got Abbott, the Canadians got Harper, and Obama, actually, I think he tolerates the Israeli bloc more than anything else, this Jewish constituency in America more than anything else, you know? This is the read I got. What's the story with Putin, though? I mean, the government, the people, the sanctions. What's happening with Australia? Why would you be participating on an agenda that is so obviously coming from the U.S. East European State Department?
Well, when you look at it, I mean, the whole thing really is being run out of England. So Australia is part of that. That's the thing. I mean, Australia does what Canada does, what England wants, and it's all this whole American thing. I mean, America is basically the military arm of the whole, you know, three-city-state complex, you know. If you look at Vatican, London, and D.C., this is all the one mechanism. And Australia is just part of it. I mean, and Tony Abbott as well. I mean, Tony Abbott is desperate to be up there rubbing shoulders with the big guys, you know. Like, he'd like to militarize this whole place. I'm sure he'd love a terrorist attack in this country, because it'd give him the excuse to, you know, flex his muscles and militarize the police and, you know, buy weapons and ships and armies and all sorts of stuff. He's just that sort of a guy. So that's why he's rubbing shoulders with these guys. I mean, sending planes off to help bomb Syria and bomb Iraq and all the stuff that he's doing. He just wants to get out there and be a good little lapdog, you know, because, I mean, all these people are puppets. I mean, they're all puppets for the banking cartels anyway. And I think a lot of it depends on the rewards that they'll probably get when they leave office, you know?
Yeah, I guess they'll get that multi-million-dollar speaking tour, you know, where they can go and make their speeches at $50,000 a head, you know, each show.
Yeah, and they get a nice block of land in the Caribbean or something. I mean, they'll just get somewhere to go. I mean, even you look at the Australian Prime Minister, it's the highest paid world leader, actually, the Australian Prime Minister. He gets more money than Obama.
Really?
So, yeah, it's the highest paid world leader on the planet. So there's something serious going on with this country. I mean, this country is just a big mine anyway. But they want us to perceive that we're under threat. You know, they're really, really pushing this whole fear thing. The whole Western world has to feel like we're under threat from the Muslim menace. That's the agenda at the moment. That's what they're trying to use to unite us all for this cause of freedom, which is really a cause of war and imperialism, from this fictitious threat that has been created by the West. I mean, even if you really pull back everything from what's going on in the Middle East and you want to get all the conspiracies out of it, even if you don't think Al-Qaeda is controlled, even if you don't think ISIS is controlled, even if you believe the official legitimate line about what's going on in the Middle East, the whole situation's been created by the West anyway. I mean, the West are the ones who went in there and destabilized the entire region. You could even go back as far as Lawrence of Arabia and the Suez Canal and when England went in there and created all the borders and created all the Arab countries, because it was all just one big region before England went in there. I mean, you look at the Arab world, all these borders of these countries are all drawn with a ruler. You know, these are all just marked on a map and said, well, this is your bit, this is your bit, this is your bit. This was all done by the West. Created the whole divided state and all the hierarchy, all the Arab, there weren't any kings and stuff before the West got involved. So the whole situation in the Middle East has been created by the West anyway. We've destabilized the entire area, so.
I live in Amman, and so I'm versed with some of the history. What they did to form Jordan and Saudi is in the 20s, the British basically bombed the tribes that were in this area, and those who went up, they created a buffer zone through the bombing, and those who went south, okay, now you're Saudis, and those who went north, okay, now you're Jordanian.
Exactly. Actually, they love that word, don't they? Buffer zone.
Yes, they created that buffer zone, and they actually, that's how they did it. They bombed the tribes to move them, to split them, just to get them out of the area. They
said, yeah, you got to bomb it. We want to put a border here, sorry.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, that's actually how they did it.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't blame anything that's going on in the Arab world on the Arabs. It's all been created by the West right from the very beginning. So, you know, people need to step back and really pay attention to what's going on here, you know.
Yeah, now you're an independent film producer, is that it?
Yeah, I guess you'd call it that. Maker, producer.
And so you put together a fair amount of videos out there, I understand. Let's just kind of run through them real quick, because I don't know that much about you, and I'm sure I'm not the only guy out there, right, and gal. One picture you called The Big Picture. What is The Big Picture?
Well, The Big Picture was the first film I put out. I mean, I way back in when I first started doing this, before I even had the radio show, I didn't know YouTube actually existed. I thought it was just a place where kids go and put out their high school videos, you know. And someone sent me a link of an expose they'd done on the Bali bombing. It was on YouTube. And I thought, wow, I can do that. So I just put out, I thought, well, I've got all this information. I'll put it together as a slideshow. And I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of creative, I'm artistic, so I'll make it look like a film. So I put credits on the end, and I put an intro title, and I put background music and did all this stuff. And when I look at it, when I look back at it, I mean, the editing's shocking. I mean, I didn't even know how to get the frames the right size back then, but it was an effort. It was just, I thought, well, I've got this information, I've spent my life researching, and I've got this information, and I'm seeing a lot of people addressing all these little problems, but they're not stepping back and looking at the bigger picture and putting it all together. So I'm going to get all the information I've got and put it all together in this one 90-minute film. And that's what I did with The Big Picture. And it actually got a good response. I was quite surprised. So I thought, well, I'll put out two more. So I put out another film called New World Order, The Final Solution, where I suggested that if people change their emotional state, they can actually change the world by changing the way they perceive the world. And then I put out a film called Fight the New World Order with Global Noncompliance to follow it up. And these were two 20-minute films. And that third one that I put out just went viral. It got 20,000 views in 2 days when it was first released. And then I ended up getting approached to be interviewed on the radio and ended up getting offered the radio show, and all sorts of stuff happened because I just put those films out, which was very surprising. And yeah, so I've made a few more since then, but that's how that kind of started. Those first three, I just kind of did because I thought, well, YouTube's there, it's a medium I can use, and if I'm artistic about it and make them actually look like films, then people might watch them. After I put out the first three, then I actually focused a little bit more attention on the other three after that.
What do you consider your finest effort?
Probably Transformation, the last one, Transformation production-wise. Transformation and The Awakening are the two main films. The Calling, the fourth one that I put out, The Calling, was actually a summary of the first three films, which was one 90-minute film and one 25 and 127-minute film. So it was like 2.5 hours of stuff. I condensed it all into a 1-hour film in The Calling. And I did that because I was living in Byron Bay and there are a lot of hippies in the area, a lot of New Age people in the area. And I thought, well, you know, a lot of the stuff in the big picture is freaking them out. They don't want to look at all the negative stuff. So if I put a trendy New Age ending on The Calling, maybe I'll be able to get these people to actually pay attention a little bit. So
they'll target
the calling is kind of the New Agey version of the first three films to try to reach that group of people, you know, because the New Age people, these people would have been activists back in the '60s, but they've been led down this pathway of spiritual narcissism, which has locked them into inaction. This is what the New Age movement's done. So these are some of the hardest people of all to wake up. They really are, because they're aware that the world's messed up. They're aware that there's a problem, but they believe that if they ignore it, it'll go away. And that's a huge problem.
That is. Now, are these available commercially?
They're all available for free download on the website. Everything on the Crow House is free. I don't have any advertising on it. I've written a book there on ancient history. That's for free. All the films are downloadable for free. If people want them on DVD, they can send me $10 and I'll send them a DVD. That's not a problem. But they can download them for free. The artwork's there for most of them too. So you can actually download the file. You've got the artwork there to print the label, to print the cover. So you can put it in your own DVD box and have the whole thing for free. Or if you don't want to do that, I'll send you a DVD. So that's the way I've done it.
International shipping charges apply.
Yeah, international shipping charges apply. So it cost me, it's gone up. It did cost $7 to send a DVD now. Now it's about $8 or $9 to send a DVD away now. So
okay, that's Australian, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. For those who are in the US dollar, what is the US dollar now to the Australian?
Pretty close. So it's usually pretty close. It has been for the last few years, been pretty close. Only a few cents difference.
And how's your commodities market going right now? I mean, you're a huge commodity country at the end of the day with your
own. Australia is one of the most expensive countries in the world to live. And the personal debt in Australia is absolutely through the roof. Australia has more personal debt than any other country on earth per capita, I think.
Really?
Which is ridiculous because we're one of the most resource-rich nations on earth. And we've got one of the lowest populations on earth. If even a small percentage of the worth of this country and the worth of the industry in this country was passed down to the people, we'd be living one of the highest standards of living in the world. But we're not. And the government actually tells us that we're a very poor nation, which is an absolute and complete and utter lie. We're a very, very rich nation, and we've got one of the highest costs of living in the world.
Do you have a problem from your point of view with immigration down there, down under?
I don't at all. Look, I think we've got so much room here. We could fit every refugee on the planet in this country and not even know they were here. I think it's ridiculous. We've got 22 to 26 million people in this country. That's less than one European city, and we're twice the size of Europe. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I think we've got room for far more people than what we've got. I don't have a problem with immigration. I think that I'm all for a borderless world. I really am. I think the only reason we need borders is because we've got this economic model. We've got these little central economies that we have to run. It's this whole economic system that's the problem. I think it's one planet and one people. I think the countries are just stuff we made up. So I mean, a lot of people may be freaked out about that, but that's just the way. If you really step back and look at it, it's all just fiction. It's all just stuff we made up. So. I mean, I love people. Everywhere I've been around the planet, I've met people that I love. So I don't have a problem with people at all. I think that people who do the wrong thing do that because they have been programmed by society to do those things, or they're in a state of hardship, so they have to steal or do whatever it is that they've been led to do, unless they're just psychopaths. Psychopaths, well, we'll put them somewhere else, put them on Christmas Island or whatever. But
maybe a one-way trip to the moon would work.
I think we should put all the politicians on Christmas Island. I've been saying this for years. Get all the politicians, all these guys who want war, put them all on Christmas Island, give them all a hammer, and they can have their war. That's what we'll do. If Barack wants to go to war with Syria, then Barack should put on a couple of grenades and some battle fatigues and go off to Syria. Off he goes. Go and have a war with Syria. You're on your own, you know.
Now, are you guys, as far as you guys, I really mean Australians, any, for us, we're focusing a lot, I guess I should step back, we're focusing a lot on this show relative to Ukraine, Russia. What's your opinion of Putin right now? Is he somebody that is fighting against the New World Order, or do you see him as kind of like just playing his part, and he's part of this New World Order matrix?
Look, you know, he's a player. He's definitely a player, but I think he's shaking his head in disbelief at the moment because the whole New World Order plan, I mean, the wheels are falling off. Nothing that they've tried to do has worked. It's all backfired. I mean, they're way, way behind schedule. So far behind schedule. And everything they're trying to do now is falling apart. And the amount of stuff we've got going on at the moment, yeah, with Ebola and ISIS and Ukraine and Syria and just, oh my God, it's everywhere. Planes falling out of the sky. I mean, they're trying everything they can. And Putin, I think he's just sitting back and shaking his head in disbelief. A great statement that he made recently when he did a speech at the UN and he said that, Russia has no intention of swimming in the murky waters of America's empire of chaos. And I thought that was a brilliant statement, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm no fan of Putin, but he seems to be the only world leader that's actually making sense at the moment.
This has been my contention also. You know, he's doing things that maybe aren't going to go along well with, you know, like the hate speech crimes and historical revisionism. He's been against a lot of these things, but he still seems to be the only rational player at the moment.
Well, yeah, but I think he's just shaking his head in disbelief because, you know, nothing the West has tried has worked, and the West is floundering, absolutely floundering. That's why we're seeing all of this stuff coming out of the woodwork. They're playing every card they can, pushing for race riots in America. Pushing for this, pushing for that. It's incredible how much they're pushing. So, and the people just aren't doing it. They're not taking the bait. The race riots didn't erupt in the United States. You know, no one's taking the bait. Everyone's just stepping back and shaking their heads going, are you guys kidding? You know, it's like a freak show. It's like the Keystone Cops have taken over the Western world. It's amazing.
Do you think we've got enough, we've finally gotten enough, let's just, you know, I lose my English over here, Max. I apologize to the audience for that, actually. But do you think we've gotten enough critical mass, that's the word, to where we're actually able to stop a lot of this because we have enough aware people that can actually break the narratives before these narratives can actually take hold in the minds of too many people?
I think we've got enough people that know there's a problem now, but whether they're awake, in inverted commas, is another question. I think there's a lot of people who are partially awake and half awake. People are aware that there's an issue, but they don't really know what the issue is. They just know something's terribly wrong. They know that the governments are out of control, but they don't really know why. They don't really step back and look at it. They're still viewing things from an economic perspective or, you know, the perspective of the war on terror or whatever. You know, they're not looking at things properly. So I think there's a lot of people that are aware we're in a desperate situation, but calling these people awake
Let me correct that question a little bit. We have a critical mass of people who are knowing something is wrong now. I mean, heck, even in America, Max, over 60-70% of the population knows 9/11 is BS as sold, okay?
Yeah.
We know that. I mean, the people know, but they don't know what really is going on. I'm just talking about at the core level, people like yourself, myself, people within our audience who participate and add value to what we're doing, and perhaps we're adding value to what they're doing, that we're able, as a general rule now, to break the narratives before they can actually take hold. Or they tried the race riot. Oh, yeah. They tried to make Syria and the chemical arms. They tried all these things like Ukraine and MH17, you know, the aircraft that fell out of the sky. But the truth is we're able now to break the narrative faster than they can make it hold in the public's eyes.
Exactly. As soon as these things happen, we're just pulling it to pieces straight away. And people are seeing that. And it's a good thing. Yeah, look, we are getting that critical mass. And people are just waiting to have some direction in which to go. Actually, this is what I tend to do next year with Full Circle Project. I've got a lot of people on board with Full Circle Project.
Okay, tell us.
And we intend to go around and do as many workshops as we can in many places as we can. And it's not just going to be people coming to speak to you. It's going to be we want to come and light a fire and then move on to the next town and light a fire there. And then move on and light a fire there. Start this spark in people. Show them how they can start pushing the envelope and interacting with their community and start pushing the envelope with their government and start taking the moral high ground in what they do and just light these fires all around the world so that the people get empowered.
How many cities have you booked already for this?
Haven't booked any. Like, we're still putting it all together. I'm still getting all the people together, and I've got a website, and I want people to be able to invite us. Okay, well, we've got a town here. We've got a venue for you. Come and do it. You know, so there's people on the ground everywhere that are involved in it. We don't want to be just coming and doing workshops. We want to have people there that want us to come to help empower their community and are prepared to keep it ongoing when we leave. So that's the way it's all been constructed, and there's a lot of good people coming on board with it.
Now, when do you expect to have this at least formalized?
Well, it's all been formalized now. Depending on my travel arrangements, because I've got sort of stuff I've got to do. I've got somewhere I've got to be in February, but I've got to be back here in April. It's probably going to be May or June that it actually gets launched, because I've got other stuff that's already booked that I have to do between now and then. But we're formalizing it all now. We've got the website's being revamped and built, and all sorts of stuff is going on now. A lot of people coming on board.
And get us a press release, huh?
Oh, yeah, there'll be a press release. It'll be pretty major when it actually is launched.
All right, we'll look forward to it. Everybody, it's Max Egan again from the Crow House and Surviving the Matrix. And Max, thanks so much for staying up late for us.
My pleasure, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Okay.